Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The Big Ten teams aren't good.
Right.
That's the sad thing about that. But I'd rather see some what we think is some beat-up three-loss SEC teams than these Big Ten. Penn State has done nothing except close loss to Ohio State.
Same as Indiana.
Indiana's done nothing.
But you have to put
a win over a dead Michigan, you know.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
At least for the year. So we're going to get all that Big Ten action, and it really is not that good.
Right.
Again, it goes back to
division. The Big Ten would say the same thing about the SEC, though.
But again, look at some of those schedules in the Big Ten. Indiana shouldn't even meet. They're playing 100 and something.
No, I know. It's
Georgia didn't play in third.
It's pathetic.
Know?
Yes, totally. Or
maybe first toughest schedules, right? It depends on which metric you use.
That's right. That's right. Anyway, yeah, fun week of college football, no question about it. All right, we'll come back. We got Respect Burgers and Jeff Calkins at 125. Memphis, UConn, tipping off.
How about that?
In about a half hour here.
Exciting.
We'll have it. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Black Tie Moving. They're changing moving in the city of Memphis. When you're moving things, you're not just moving things. You're moving pieces of your life. And Black Tie gets that. They're licensed. They're bonded. They're insured. They're the best in town. But you got to call them. Get on that schedule. 316-6196 is the phone number. They're going to show up when they say they're going to show up. They're going to stay on the budget that you guys agreed to. You're going to be glad you did it. Get on the schedule, 316-6196. It's Black Tie Moving, change and moving the city of Memphis.
Typically on Mondays around this time, I pull out my Big Green Egg. I pat out some burgers like I used to do back at the Memphis Country Club back in the day. Only thing is, I season these a little differently now in 2024. I season them with respect in a world full of disrespect. Let's do Respect Burgers. The biggest burger is for the MVP of the NFL. At least as I see it. And that man's name is Saquon Barkley. Now, we've said no non-quarterback has won the award since 2012. Adrian Peterson. But after a 255-yard, two-touchdown performance on 26 carries and a win over the Rams, 37-20 for the Philadelphia Eagles, we've talked about it a little bit. Barkley is now way out ahead in terms of the rushing title. And here's a guy who is on pace, as John Martin just noted, for 2,100 yards right now. And so, listen, this is a quarterback award now, and Josh Allen, I believe John gave us the numbers there in terms of from a reputable sports book, he is still the favorite for MVP because we typically give it to quarterbacks. But with what we've got left on the schedule, what Saquon Barkley could still do, I think he's a good bet. John says right now it's plus 475 on Saquon Barkley. It's his seventh 100-yard game of the season. Totaled a career high 302 yards from scrimmage totals. 255 rushing, also had 47 receiving. And we mentioned it too, the 270-yard touchdown, 70-plus yard touchdowns, 170, 172, made him the first running back with 270-plus yard touchdowns same game since Maurice Jones-Drew did it versus the Titans back in 2009, so 15 years ago. Saquon Barkley has 500 yards from scrimmage over the last two games. This guy was a giant, and they let him walk. That's the most over a two-game span since 1977. Any guesses on who the running back was in 77 that did it? 500 scrimmage yards in two games.
77? Barry Sanders? No, that would have been too early.
Come on now, Barry Sanders there. He was still in the womb, probably.
Not 77.
No, I don't know about 77.
Probably was Oklahoma
Hell,
State.
I was 1 year old.
Gale Sayers.
It was Walter Payton. You're a little bit too early in your Bears history there.
Sorry.
Walter Payton in 77, the last man to have 500 scrimmage yards in the last two games. He's been on an absolute tear, and clearly what he's done for the Philadelphia Eagles as they separate themselves from the rest of the NFC East and get maybe closer to Detroit status just in terms of the best teams in the NFC overall. We mentioned Saquon Barkley now at 1,392 for the season. Just for context, Derrick Henry seconds at 1,185. Then it drops all the way down to Josh Jacobs at 944. Jahmyr Gibbs, by the way, 886. Any guesses on who the fifth leading rusher is? He's on a bad team. You'd never get it. You may have him in fantasy, or you've had him. Carolina. Chuba.
Oh, Chuba.
We got to go. I mean, that's how bad running backs are now. But maybe Saquon's restoring them. I'm with John. He's probably helped Ashton Jeanty get a few, a couple of million dollars extra here in terms of, you know, we pushed Ashton Jeanty right now currently mocked for late in the first round. But maybe we'll start taking running backs a little higher, especially if Saquon can be the first MVP, first running back, first non-QB period since 2012 to get MVP. Guy's been an absolute stud. I don't see any sign of it continuing. Oh, by the way, he plays for Caleb's Nails, my fantasy team. And so it's another reason why I like giving Saquon Barkley a respect burger. All right, moving on and coming back home, we've got to give a big one to my man Scottie Pippen Jr. Had a career best 30 points, 10 assists back in Chicago, the place that his daddy helped build. Now Michael built it with his own hands, and Michael's greatness helped pull Scotty up to that level, but he became one of the top 50 on his own. And to do this now, you know, he joined his father as the only father-son, true father-son NBA combo to have triple-doubles. Did that earlier this season, and then comes back with 30 and 10 up in Chicago and helping the Grizzlies get a 142-131 win on Saturday. This isn't just for his performance on Saturday. Obviously playing where his Hall of Fame father, his retired number hangs. It's really for the season, but on that game, 13 of 16 from the field. Mm. 3 of 6 from three-point range, added the 10 assists in 31 minutes, helping the Grizzlies win for the third time in four games, obviously. And more importantly, avenge that ugly loss to Chicago back here, 126-123, where the Grizzlies, I think, were up 20 in that game and had blown it. In that game, Scotty was coming off the bench, still played 31 minutes just like he did in the starting role, had 14 and 10, so he has performed well against his father's old team. As I've said, this burger, though, more for the whole season, where Scottie Pippen Jr. is averaging almost 13 points a game, 12.6, 5.9 assists as the backup point guard to Ja Morant, obviously has had to step up this year, has 8 starts in Morant's stead. But what I like best, still shooting 40%, even with the increased playing time and reliance upon him in a year where you know, it's even more important than he's doing this. 40% from three, 78% from the free throw line in 26 minutes per game. I'd like to see the 2.2 turnovers. Grizzlies still throwing the ball around too much. You know, how much of that is a result of this new offense and trying to find those cutters? That's a part of it. And Scotty's right there at 2.2 turnovers per game. Still like to see that come down. But overall, just been super solid for you, as we mentioned, in 8 starts. He's one Grizzly. I'm sure there's others. Maybe Jalen Wells, who has played in all 17 games as well. And it's a season, in a season where you've had guys in and out, can't help but appreciate Scottie Pippen Jr.'s durability as well as his efficiency and production when they've needed it. And then moving on, this one is really for broader. A respect burger for every school in the AAC. It is now up to 6, John, with the news that Tulsa has fired Kevin Wilson. They did it on Sunday after he fell to 7-16 in 2 seasons there. 63-30 loss to USF. Wilson's team's lost 9 games by more than 30 points over those 2 seasons. Absolute embarrassment. As we mentioned, he's the 6th AAC coach to be fired. South Charlotte, Rice, Temple, East Carolina, and FAU that have also fired their coaches in the AAC. And while we look at that and say it's clearly an indictment of the league and how bad it is, something John's harped on, there's no question about it, especially since we're talking Pac-12 deal and whether Memphis should go, what I like is that these programs are not accepting mediocrity.
That's right.
They, like we've talked about, there's an opportunity in the AAC. You know, you can look at Tulane and Memphis and say, well, that's the top of the thing. They're getting more than what we get. I mean, a UTSA could certainly say that. As Traylor pointed out, they get one. They've got 1/6 of Memphis's budget. But what you can't accept is the fact that, listen, you're going to be on ESPN, whether it's against the Tulanes or Memphis or whatever else. There's an opportunity to build a brand outside of the Power Four based on what you've got. Yes, in this bad conference, because you've got enough of a platform. And so what I would tell you is it's a good thing for Memphis. It's a good thing for Tulane. It's a good thing for the American Athletic Conference. Again, trying to be the best thing outside the power structure, it's a good thing that these programs have decided we're not going to accept. And in some cases, it's worse than mediocrity. I mean, you've had some bad football out there. This is a good development, clearly, all of this cleaning of house, and I wish it would happen at UAB as well, because Lord knows Trent Dilfer looks like he's checked out. But apparently this 3.4 or-ish buyout is going to, you know, it's got them seriously thinking about whether or not they can do it. Seems like an obvious one to me. But this is a good thing. I know it says bad conference, and it absolutely does, but they want better, and it's a good thing, man. Frankly, you know, wish we could be having a conversation about, you know, the head here. But Ryan Silverfield's going out trying to get his 10th win. That is certainly no time. There's no time to be talking about a switch here. But it would be nice to be in the AAC race. Right now, Memphis tied for fourth, you know. Fourth in a year you were picked first. That's not fun.
In a league that fired all their coaches.
In a league that fired all their coaches, albeit the not from the schools that you lost to.
But the schools that you beat.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's what I'm saying.
Very true. Right. No, very true. And Charlotte, man, what you beat them by? Rice was seven, but when they already fired their coach.
It took that last-minute drive.
It did. Charlotte was close, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, bro. We'll be able to give Ryan the benefit of the doubt when he goes and upsets Tulane on Thursday on Thanksgiving while you're eating fat turkey.
Oh, I'm glad you brought this up.
14.5-point dogs.
I'm glad you brought this up. Not about that.
Okay.
About
those are all the respect workers, by the way.
This is a loving disrespect dog. It's a loving. Okay. So because I love him and I consider him a friend and I appreciate him, Mark Giannotto.
Oh, my goodness.
Mark Giannotto is getting a disrespect dog today. Why is Mark getting a disrespect
dog? He's a worker, man.
Great worker. But the reason why Mark's getting a disrespect dog today is because he tweeted, he retweeted Tim Buckley's column about Tim Buckley kind of wrote, sort of summed up everything about the Ryan Silverfield era, right? That it's got a chance at 10 wins, you know, but we feel a certain way we feel, right? We've gone over this. And Mark tweets that this is why I would have never given Silverfield that contract extension. Whether they're right or wrong, Memphis fans want more than Silverfield has shown he can offer. But now with that contract, it's a marriage everyone has to make work for a while. That's a true statement. However, that's not what Mark wrote when Silverfield got the extension. It's not what he said. He said that Memphis has momentum. When Ryan, and because I went back and I looked, I'm like, I'm pretty sure you weren't saying this when the extension was given.
Go ahead.
I just don't think you can come back and say that this is why I would have never done it when at the time that it was happening, you didn't have this, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know. You got to vocalize skepticism if you want to be able to come back and say a year later, I would have never done it. Of course you would say that now. Of course, anybody would say that now because it is an awkward situation. But if you were saying after they beat, because I went back and I read the column, Jason. I read exactly what he wrote. You know that Memphis because they beat Iowa State. Ryan Silverfield finally got a nice.
Yeah,
win.
But you know he didn't just fully jump back on board. I don't know. I've used myself because we were kind of on the same. You know, Mark and I were on the same side of the table on on Silverfield. And what I said about 10 wins was he shut us up.
Yeah,
and I was probably saying too. We all were. Everything's lining up for next year.
Yeah.
Everything. And so if that's what he wrote. Now, if he wrote, oh, yes, this was the right thing to do, right? If that's what the column was a year ago.
Yeah.
Then I'm totally. I totally get what you're saying.
I don't think you can say this is why I would have never given Silverfield the contract extension because you would have written, this is a mistake. Memphis should not do this.
So where I'm with you is that Mark, once he got to 10 wins, we all had to shut up. Those were that were critical of Ryan.
They had to give him the extension.
We knew at that point you had to give him some form of. Now, we can also say that the way Veach did it.
Totally.
Right. And if we had broken it down then.
Yep.
Now, what I do like, though, is, again, it's 60%.
Right.
Which gives you a little bit of an out. If he had just left you, you know, with a Tom Bowen for Josh Pastner type where you got to pay the whole deal, Tubby had to pay the whole deal, that's one thing. So you did get the 60%. But I hate the 9 wins.
Yes.
1 year roll.
Yes.
It's not capped, John.
Yes. And no, so, I'm not trying to act like nobody.
But I would stop short of saying he's completely gone. Well, you know,
the part I have an issue with is like you're trying to say that I never.
But he was one of the ones. Him and everybody else.
It was impossible not to question it. I mean, because it's not like anybody felt like, oh, this is like nobody came away from last season saying, yes, Memphis locked in Silverfield. This is fantastic. We got him. We got our man. Nobody felt that.
No, you said you gave him the contract extension at a point
it
you
was
had
obligatory,
to.
Right?
Because remember, we discussed with recruiting, you're just going to leave 2 years out there. Like they're going to be. Then they trump up the thing about Indiana and he's on coaching lists. We understood you got to do it.
It was obligatory. That's why I don't think you can come back and say, this is why I never would have done it. Memphis didn't have a choice. They had no choice. They had to do it.
That's what I'm with you on. You can't. He understood that.
Yeah.
Even not having faith like me in Silverfield, just like I did. I understood at that point. You got to give him the contract.
Memphis is not in the
business. It didn't have to look like this, which he could have written.
Yes.
Which he probably should have written and said, I would have never given it to him.
Right.
Because clearly he understood just like I did. He was here when he wrote about it.
Exactly. It was an obligatory contract extension that they waited until the absolute last moment to give him.
Well, after he got 10, you had to. But it didn't have to look like this.
Yes.
It did not.
No, totally. Totally.
It did not.
So that's the only thing. It's like, and look, it's the first sentence, which is, I would have never given him that extension. Mm. No school in America would have not given him the extension after, you know, that.
An extension.
Yeah, an extension. Not necessarily.
This one.
Like, yeah. if Mark would have said, I would have never given him this kind
that
of extension.
That was his way out. I'm with you on. You know, if he'd written that.
But I think he wrote an extension or the extension. He said that contract extension. So, I mean, I guess he has a
Mark
little
got
out.
You on, he got you on the deal. There you go. He gave himself that out.
He can say.
Specifically that one, John. I'm talking about this one.
Well, you know what? I think that's what you're, I think you're actually right. I think because he says with that contract.
He didn't.
He's talking about the language.
Right. He didn't jump from pad to pad like, you know, some of these leapfrogs out here.
I'll give myself the disrespect dog then, because if he's talking about the language of it and the you know,
it's this contract extension. Yes.
Right. With the automatic,
and I agree with him.
That
he had not earned what you gave him.
I misunderstood what
he had earned
Mark
an
was
extension.
Saying, so I appreciate you clarifying that. So I'm gonna give myself a disrespect dog. But that was actually,
well, you're sick. You know, you're passing out Jeremy Berg disrespect dogs.
Yeah. Although I would have, I think Mark could have made it a little clearer, right?
Like, well, apparently he needed. I mean, he clearly needed to.
Because
you don't want anybody.
Yeah, like you can
sort of thinking you're talking out of both sides here.
Yeah, because
he's not.
Saying is Memphis negotiated a bad deal is what he's saying. That's what he's saying. You know, which,
dude,
we've been on this point with the automatic roller, and we get, does 10 count for bowl, or is it regular season?
No, it's regular season, bro. Yeah, regular season gets the 2-year.
Gotcha. So I don't think
he gets the 10. 9 though is uncapped. He can only do the 10. One time.
Got it.
It's a 2-year extension.
Got it.
That's only one time he can do.
Got it.
But he can do this 9 thing on your face year after year.
There you go.
Lock him in.
All right. We're going to come back. Jeff Cox is going to join us. Tip off in 5 minutes in Maui. Memphis versus UConn.
Oh,
Penny
boy.
Has given his final words to the team before the game. So we will talk to Jeff about all that and more when we get back. Jason and John, how are you trying to film? ESPN. The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is here for you. Let's say you're renting, and look, everybody has a reason for renting. Maybe that's just your situation right now, and you're looking for a way out, but you may feel like the interest rates or whatever headwinds are out there are prohibitive. That's where the Live Love team comes in. Don't let interest rates hold you back. Start a conversation with Jennifer Carson and the Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency. They can help you get out of that situation, find the home of your dreams, start building your own wealth. Reach out, SodaLiveLoveMemphis.com.
901-625-5200. As John said, it all starts with a conversation. A lot of times what you think you know, certainly my case years ago before I called Jennifer Carstensen, will prevent you, keep you from making the call, and we're wrong. Right? I got all these preconceived notions. Jennifer Carstensen, it is her business to clear the pathway, to find the pathway to home ownership, and she specializes in helping first-time home buyers. So again, do not let your fears keep you from making the call. At the very least, she's going to be a great resource for you. 901-625-5200. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
Jeff Calkins is the host of the Jeff Calkins Show. He is the columnist over at the Daily Memphian, and he is locked in. He is in front of his TV right now. There's no doubt about it. Penny Hardaway spoke to his team just before the game tips off here, Jeff, and he said the following. He said, God does everything but fail. How about that as a pregame message?
That makes me want to run through the wall, man. Makes me want to run through the wall.
God does everything but fail.
Remember
you
the
know what else?
Halftime
Here's
speech.
The thing about God. Here's the thing about God. God waited. He did it in, you know, 6 days, and then 7 days he rested, right? But he didn't wait for the second. Hey, he didn't wait for day 3.5 to get started. You know, he was starting on stuff, I think, if I'm my Bible scholarship correct. He got started on this stuff right away. And I think it's important for the Tigers to do the same.
Yeah, I mean, is Dan Hurley, is he a Christian or what? Do you know?
His language is a little tough for a Christian.
He might be like one of those, you know, Jersey Catholic guys, right?
I'm sure he was raised Catholic. Now, I'm not going to get into what he believes one way or another. But anyway, it's sort of fun to be able to, on a one Monday afternoon, watch your Memphis Tigers take on the two-time defending national champion.
I asked Jeffrey the same question last week. I wonder how you feel. Is it a free swing?
I don't think it's a free swing, no. Well, in this way. Yeah, no one expects them to win, sure. In that sense, it is. But I actually think free swing suggests there's no downside if you get your ass kicked, right? And I think there is, because I think there's a downside emotionally. Like, people have started, I think, the fan base to become, oh, well, maybe they're pretty good this year. The way we phrased it on the show this morning was they've sort of become, you know, Tiger curious. You know, no one's on board yet completely, but they're, and I think if you get smashed, it's maybe unfair, but I think if you get smashed, it's a way of, it's sort of deflating. So I think there's more at stake than just a free swing suggests there's no downside if you get your ass kicked. Now, I'm not predicting they get their ass kicked, but I do think there's an emotional downside given the fundamental, you know, there's this PTSD about what's going to happen anyway. And so if it happens in the fifth game of the year, I think people are like, ah, see, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Do you think it's a free swing? Do y'all think, have you decided it's a free swing?
I think it's
close. That's what
it's not free, but it's not like
if they get blown out today, but they come back and go 2-1, right? Nobody's going to be talking about how, you know, yeah. That's just because UConn is so good. Right. We'll look at it that way. As opposed, it's close to one, but I'm with you, Jeff.
There's a lot of Memphis fans there. I'm looking at it right now. They traveled really, really well for this.
Absolutely. Maybe it's this, Jeff. I mean, there's an opportunity. There's a real opportunity to get some buy-in for this program for Penny Hardaway if you can pull this off. That's what's certainly, you know, without question.
One of the interesting things is that I guess in this way it's a free swing. I don't think anyone thinks they're going to pull it off.
Right.
Right? Like no one thinks, even Memphis Tiger fans, like no one thinks they're going to win this game. And I contrast it to last year. If you'd had the same situation where last year's team, at this stage, you actually might have had people thinking, you know what? We got Javon Quinterly. He's been on the big stage. We've got, you know, and you would have gone through the roster. Dave Jones could go off, you know, like, and it's an interesting, because I don't think this team, as you know, in the end, it's certainly, I think it'll be better than last year's team, given the way that we know the last year's team went. But maybe it's because we see how thin they are, or maybe it's because we've stopped believing a little bit or whatever. It is a total free swing in that literally nobody thinks they're going to win this game. And I don't. I think last year you might have had a 5% chance talking yourself into, hey, stranger things have happened. Now it was like, nope, stranger things have never happened. They can't win this game, which is sort of a sad place to be. But it does give you in that sense, it is an opportunity. And it's also true that if they lose by 7 or 5, it will actually burnish their resume rather than to discredit their resume.
Yeah. No, I think that's. That's absolutely right. And I will say, just like looking at these teams, like Memphis certainly does not look like they are overmatched from a size perspective at all.
Musa looks huge out there.
Yeah, like UConn's not nearly as big as they've been. I guess that's what happens when
they take Donovan Klingon and him at FedEx Forum tonight.
Yeah, you know? exactly right. Yeah, God, we're just on the same page. Look at us. Look at us,
well,
man.
Funny. I mean, Donovan Klingon there, and, you know.
I've been a big believer that Klingon hit a lot. I mean, when you have a dude that good in college basketball, you know.
Right. Now, he hit a lot playing 20 minutes a game. But, yes, he did. You know, he wasn't. But, yes, he was awesome. He was awesome.
It hides a lot when you have a guy that's 7'4", you know, that can score
now,
in.
You, this year, they're blocking literally 25% of their opponent's shots, even with this more diminutive group.
Yeah.
And the fact that they played nobody, like literally everybody has been north of the 300s, Ken Pom north of 300. If you want to do play-by-play, you can.
8-5, Memphis.
It's 8-5. Kobe Rogers has hit a couple of threes already.
It's time. It's time for it to be a Kobe Rogers game.
It's at least so far not a slow start, right? You know, that we hope that was the case.
I did a play-by-play, from Maui once. And if you want to, if Kobe Rogers knocks in another, if you want to say, put an egg on it, exclaim, that was my signature three-point call.
Put an egg on it?
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
It was genius. It just meant put an egg on it, you know? It was ridiculous.
I think we're just so stunned that we don't really know what it means.
I was doing play-by-play from Maui, from the ballroom in Maui, where the GP was on at the time, and I was talking to him, and it was ridiculous. It gave me, and so if you want to tell the people what's happening, you should, but it did give me great respect for Pete and Eric and the folks who do it, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, the problem is I barely know any of the names here. Jourdain here on Samson Johnson driving to the rim, kicks out McNeely, out to Solo Ball for three, no good. Moussa Cisse rebound,
boom.
Kobe Rogers bringing up the court. I think this is Kobe Rogers.
Oh, yeah. You've got to be better than that at this point.
They're wearing those jerseys. As play-by-play.
Oh, but it's difficult to see because of the black jerseys, you're saying? Difficult to read the name?
Yeah, exactly right. You know, Kobe and Tyrese have kind of the same hairstyle. So from a distance, it's kind of hard to – that's not racist. That is not racist, okay? It's not. I'm not saying all black people look alike. I'm just saying from a distance –
all Memphis Tigers do.
You know, it's just those two gentlemen, I've had a hard time – Early in the year. It's early. It's only the fourth game of the year.
Samson Johnson
leaving the game with two fouls. So UConn already having to go into
already
its bench.
Foul trouble. This is it.
I knew this was going to happen.
Everyone
calm down.
Dan Hurley's not a Christian, and I knew that this was going to be a big factor. Dane Danger.
God does not fail, man. What is it supposed to face?
Turnover.
God does everything but fail. Dane Danger called for the travel. I'll say this. 16 minutes to go in the first half. Memphis belongs.
Looks belong. They belong.
They belong. Yeah. I mean, again, we know it's a long game, and we
belongs
know.
Belongs to what?
They belong next to a number, the number two ranked team in the country. Yes. They belong in the game with the number two ranked team in America.
Did you think they belonged when they played UNC? Did you think they belonged when they played Alabama?
I did not believe that when they played Alabama, no. I did not believe that because they were down 20 at the half without Grant Nelson. So this is an improvement. They just stand back. Caravan from three. Got it. Tie game, 8-8. And that was going to be the matchup, right? That was going to be the matchup for Memphis. I've always said Jourdain on Caravan. But again, you know.
That's a tough one.
This closed 8.5-9. So it did close at 8.5, yep. By the way, Jason. So it came back down.
Media timeout, 15-50.
Media timeout. Let's eight see. All. It is a it's on the floor. Kobe Rogers fouled on the floor, but the fouls are stacking up for the UConn Huskies as we go to our first media timeout. And Dan Hurley is lighting it to the refs already. He is lighting it. He is losing his Christian identity. So
into the officials.
Yeah, into the officials. I mean, he's losing his mind already. He knows that this Memphis team is not going to go quietly. I mean,
did you do a column once on him losing his mind?
Yes, it was his first game in the Forum.
He absolutely loses his.
And mind. This was before the Huskies were who they are today, right? This is right. When he was just building. But I basically just wrote down every meltdown he had.
Boy, he is getting wow. He did get another push.
And there were a few of them. It was very it didn't do well because he wasn't, you know, he had not turned around UConn yet. But if I wrote that same column today, it would like go viral, you know.
Except for people know who he is, you know, now they know he's the guy who explodes Fulham, you know, this and that. The series between these two teams tied at 8, big game today.
Yeah.
Memphis has won 8.
Oh, wow. But yeah,
UConn won 8.
But you know, Memphis just never gets the same recognition nationally. It's like
they don't get the same. No, they don't get the same.
Just hate. Just hate, man.
Great news that
pure hate.
I know your hopeful job will be back tonight, right? Finally, it'll just be the second game you've had the big three together.
So
we hope
they started three they started two games together, but one of them, Dez, had to leave early.
Uh-huh.
So they've only had two complete games where they've actually been available for the – it's kind of amazing. And so given all that, I think you have to feel pretty good about where they are, you know. And, yes, it appears Joe's going to be back. And it's nice for the people, too, because you got a lot of people Thanksgiving week, and you got four home games.
Yep.
Get Ja Morant, get the big three going. I think it promises a nice – promises a fun week.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jeff,
put
an egg on it. Put an egg on it, man.
We're going to put an egg on this one.
Now, again.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You never. You never explained it. You just said that you said it.
No. Well, the reason that put an egg on it is earlier in the segment with GP, I had explained that the cheeseburger in Bahamas that I bought cost $32 or something. Everything was crazy expensive in the Bahamas, but it had an egg on it, you know, and whatever. And so then when Gary said, I need a call, you know, when it's a three, whatever, you need something to distinguish rather than ringing up and put three on the board.
Okay.
And so that's where it came up. Now, really, to put an egg on it really should be, honestly, it's
the
more
end
of
the
a
game.
Call for an and one, you know. And
oh, okay, one. Okay, yeah, okay.
That's not how I used it. I was using it for the three-pointer. It was not my destiny to be
Hurley got
play
teed
my
up.
Play guy.
Hurley did get a tee in that timeout.
That's
excellent.
Good. He's not. See, that's because the official is a Christian, you know. And Hurley. And Hurley is not.
No Christian's curse. No.
See y'all.
No,
have a great
Thanksgiving. Thank you, Jeff. Happy Thanksgiving.
That is Jeff Calkins. Joins us every single Monday here on the show. Kobe Rogers got a chance to have a day. He's at the free throw line here for two because that's what happens when you lose your identity. You know, you put people on the free throw line. Kobe Rogers
makes the first one.
Does make the first one. You're a little ahead of me. I got the YouTube. Oh, he missed the first one. Looks like he made the second.
He split. Yes.
Yeah.
That's too bad. He has scored, seven of the Tigers' 9 points.
That's right.
He's off to a great start.
He's overdue for a nice game. This would be a good one to have. So Memphis takes the lead 9-8 in this clash with the number two team in the country, UConn. We'll keep you updated throughout the show here. In what little time we have left, we'll come back. Jason and John, 90.5 FM, ESPN. Over at Zen Sports, get involved with the big game sweepstakes. One customer going to win a grand prize of two VIP tickets, tailgates, parties, hotel stay for the game in New Orleans, or $10,000 cash. What's more, Zen Sports will also award 50 additional prizes, which include two tickets to any Tennessee sporting event or $100 cash. Earn one entry for every bet you make in November, one entry for every dollar bet in November, and two times entries for every parlay made. That's over at Zen Sports. Download it now, Z-E-N Sports. And also sign up with promo code Martin. Get 25% odds boost when you sign up with that code. Going to bet on sports? Do it with Zen Sports. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. I'm behind you, Jason, so you'd have to probably tell me what the score is at the moment.
16-12, 11:59 left in the first half. Tigers winning at this point. UConn just missed a layup. They did get to grab an offensive rebound now, so it's their position. I'm not viewing it. I've got it on stat broadcast. So
yeah.
It's as fast as it comes up, but 16-12 still. Tigers, four turnovers.
Yeah.
And that has led to 7 of UConn's 12 points. It's really the only way UConn scored so far. They're 5 of 13 for the field. Memphis shooting it really well. 5 of 8, 62%, and 3 of 5 from 3 has helped to get off to a nice offensive start here. John's the best start, especially when you consider the competition. It's the best start Memphis has gotten off to, no question, especially offensively, how good they've been. Remember, last game, they had just 6 field goals total in the first half against San Francisco. They're already 5 of 8 here to start. And I would tell you the best news so far, especially in a game where 11 foul calls have been called already, is that all of your guys so far, nobody's got more than one. John's pointed out, it looks like he's trying to protect Musa as much as he can.
Yep.
That's going to be key. Right now, Musa with 0 fouls, but they've got 2 guys already with 2, and Johnson with 3 guys. McNeely's got 2 now, too, Ball and Johnson, as they've been called for 7 fouls and Hurley a tech.
Yeah, so great start.
This is the kind of start you'd hope for.
P.J. Haggerty, you're going to be going to the free throw line out of the timeout to put a chance to put this up to 6. I mean, listen,
there you go. Bonus early? I mean, come on.
You could not have asked for a better start for Memphis, honestly, as 8.5-point underdogs. But we said this all day long. We said this is where Penny is at his best. He has his teams ready to play. He doesn't get embarrassed in these spots. I think, honestly, his greatest quality as the coach of Memphis is that when he does play games, and it doesn't happen often, but when they do happen, you're never going to get embarrassed on the national stage like this. You'll get embarrassed against the teams like Rice. That's where, you know, you might get a little slippage, as Josh Pastner would say. But when it comes to games like this, I always have the utmost confidence in Penny Hardaway's ability. I truly do. He's a master motivator in the big games against the big brands. And I don't know, you know, it's probably harder to do that when you're playing Rice and UTSA, and because, like, how do I say the same thing, right, for them? I can't. But his messages are always super effective. They seem to always land against the big brands. And so far, Memphis looks like the more active team, because I'm watching it. They look like the more active team. They have better energy. UConn's guards are underwhelming, bro.
Well, no, you pointed that out at the start of the year, that this is different than the previous two teams in terms of their guard play this year.
I think Memphis wins this game. I know it's early, but based on what I'm seeing, Memphis just looks like the better team today. I'm not saying overall at the end of the year, but Memphis has a clearer understanding of what it wants to do to me today than UConn.
You got to stay out of foul trouble to pull it off.
No question. I mean,
the way you're playing with the energy.
But, yes.
But like, with them as thin as they are, they can't survive
UConn's
foul trouble in the way
they're matching it right now.
Yeah, no, you like that. Yeah. Again, you caught them early. They haven't played since Tuesday. They've played all cupcakes. They certainly haven't seen a team with your pressure. And what's interesting so far, Tigers don't have any points off turnovers. They've done this basically, you know, just out of the offense. Kobe Rogers obviously off to a hot start, 2-2 from three with 7 points already. But you know at some point you're going to turn them over, which has been some of your best offense of the year. You also know that in the second half, you talk about what Penny said before the game in big games, whatever he's done in halftime too, because of the way they performed there. So, you know, good signs, clearly, but this is certainly not a UConn team you can count out of. Well, you know, down four, you know, with the under 12 media timeout.
No, that's definitely
right. Plus, Memphis has come out shooting
the ball
extremely well.
They'll make it a game. You wonder, okay, how Memphis stacks up just fine. They just showed a tribute here. It's the first Maui Invitational, of course, without Bill Walton. So they just had it. They have a chair that they have at the at courtside with a shirt and a Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, wow,
and the
mail now. Yeah, some of his Maui moments.
Yeah.
Wow.
So obviously we lost Bill. A few months ago. So. First one without him, he was a staple of this event, no question about it. So, listen, it's not even halfway through the first half, but, I mean, there are a lot of ways this game can go. And right now, I think Memphis certainly has the upper hand. And if they are able to pull this off and move on to, who would it be?
Winner of Michigan State,
yeah,
Colorado.
I mean,
likely Michigan State. They're the 8.5-point favorites last we looked.
It's an amazing place to be for Memphis.
Would represent another winnable game.
Absolutely. I mean, you beat UConn, number two team in the country.
Either one you get there is going to feel winnable. Will they be?
Yeah.
They won't be favored against Michigan State.
I think they might. If they beat UConn, I think they might. I think they're ranked ahead of Michigan State and KenPom. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think they will be favored. I think that's going to be the interesting one. 17-12, P.J. Haggerty at the free throw line.
Oh, you're right.
To make this 18-12.
44 at KenPom.
Yeah. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jeff Coggins for joining us on the show. Jeffrey and company will have all the live updates for you next. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.